Line, live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Tuesday, February 21st, 2023. Hope you're all doing well on this cloudy, partly sunny, partly rainy. It's been a weird afternoon here in Auburn, Alabama, weather-wise. But hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you for the next 2 hours here on ESPN 106.7. And lots to talk about today. We will talk about their latest bracketology that is out from Joe Lunardi. We'll talk about where Auburn stands as they get ready to take on Ole Miss tomorrow inside Neville Arena. We'll look around the SEC, look around the country and who is in, who is out, and who has some work to do in bracketology. But the news that has taken over the Southeastern Conference, the state of Alabama, the country.
It's going national right now.
It is everywhere right now. And the news about, there's more information from the situation that took place at Tuscaloosa a while back when there was a murder in Tuscaloosa. And I'm sure you all remember, it was an Alabama basketball player who was arrested and charged, right, with killing a young innocent life in Tuscaloosa right there on the strip. And some information has come out today that apparently, and here's what the headline from AL.com reads. It says Darius Miles, who was the young man charged in the murder of killing a woman, right? It says Darius Miles asked Brandon Miller to bring gun used to kill Jamia Jonae Harris, police testify. Because there was a hearing today in Tuscaloosa. The police were put on the stand, the ones that were involved in the situation. And it turns out that Brandon Miller, who is probably the best freshman in the country right now in college basketball, who is one of the biggest names in the country, who is the best player on Alabama, which all that is all a it takes a big, big back seat right now. But Brandon Miller, who has Alabama as a top three team in the country, was apparently involved in this entire situation. The story just gets wild when you start reading it, where he apparently drove to the scene, brought the gun to the scene, and then drove them away from the scene. And there's a lot of stuff going on here.
Well, you're missing the part where you have Miles and Davis walked away from the victim's Jeep, but later returned two vehicles, a Dodge Charger and a Dodge Challenger, that belonged to Miles' teammates, Miller and Bradley, were blocking the road. They basically, it reads, the way that reads is, they boxed this car in. I mean, this is ugly.
It's very ugly.
This is horrific. And if this goes the way that it feels like it could possibly go, this is a horrific look for the University of Alabama, for Nate Oates, the basketball program, for the Tuscaloosa Police Department. Like, there, this could get unbelievably ugly very, very, very fast.
Yes, it could. And here's the first couple of sentences from the AL.com article. This was the one that came out where everybody started seeing it from Carol Robinson from AL.com. It says, Alabama's freshman basketball standout Brandon Miller brought the gun used on the Tuscaloosa strip killing of a woman that led to capital murder charges for his now former teammate Darius Miles and 20-year-old Michael Buzz Davis, according to law enforcement testimony today. Miles contacted Miller and asked him to bring his gun to where they were, according to police. When Miller got to the scene, Miles told Davis, the two individuals that were involved, quote, the heat is in the hat, is what Brandon Culpepper said. That meant the gun was present, right? It meant, I've got the gun. And then Miles added, there's one in the head. That meant, and what Culpepper said, yep, and was there was one in the chamber. And Miles moved his girlfriend back to get her out of the line of fire. And this is what the Tuscaloosa Police Department is saying. Like, this is what their testimony was today. It says Miller's windshield was struck twice by gunfire in the shooting. Another Alabama basketball player, Jaden Bradley, was also at the scene of the shooting. And then they were asked why Miller was not charged. And the Tuscaloosa Chief Deputy DA Paula Whitley said, "That's not a question I can answer. There's nothing we could charge him with according to the law." This is a touchy situation. There's no doubt about it. This has really just taken a massive step up on the severity of this situation. Before we get into all of this, a young woman lost her life here.
Yes.
And that is what has to be remembered. A young woman lost her life in a horrible situation that involved athletes at the University of Alabama. And it has nothing to do with it being that. It's just, this is what happened. A young woman lost her life. A couple of guys were charged. A couple of men made some decisions that ruined their lives. And now we're getting more information that Brandon Miller, who is, again,
he's involved.
He was involved and maybe had a big hand in this. Maybe had a big hand in this. With all the news that's coming out today, and it's hard to really process this because it's all such, it's so new. It's so new, and this had been a situation that I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but this news had sort of moved out of the headlines, right? This had sort of moved on. Of course, the families haven't, and that, like, you feel for them and you hurt for them because you never want them to feel like this story would ever go away. But here we are gaining more information that there were more people involved than what we thought.
The aspect, the using other cars to block the road where the Jeep was parked, that is the scariest part to me, because that's like, that to me, if I were to see that play out, that would look coordinated. I don't know what everybody knew what the knowledge was, what was going on, but that certainly looks sketchy.
And here is what Nate Oates had to say today when asked about it. Nate Oates said Tuesday that Miller is, quote, not in any trouble as a result of his alleged involvement. Here's the quote from Nate Oates. "We knew about that. Can't control everything everybody does outside of practice. Nobody knew that was going to happen. College kids are out. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor is he any type of trouble in this case. Wrong spot at the wrong time," is what Nate Oates said today.
It is not wrong spot, wrong time. You're bringing a gun. Whether you knew it was going to be used for that purpose or not, you brought a gun that ended up being used in a murder. That's not wrong place, wrong time. And Nate Oates should be ashamed to use that as his choice of words. Regardless of what happens here, we know one thing is, holy cow, Nate Oates did not have control over the state of his program. Because you've got three players involved in a situation where somebody was murdered. That's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's sad is what it is. It's unbelievably sad that a young woman lost her life. B, you have three athletes at a very good school, at a very top-rated program who had very bright futures in life, in the game of basketball, and they have put themselves in a horrible situation by taking the life away from somebody else Yes. who also had a bright future and a bright life ahead of them.
I think was a mother, too.
And more details keep coming out. And if this was known, and it's just now coming out because they had a hearing about it, and Nate Oates had any idea that Brandon Miller was involved with this, whether he knew it was this severe or not, if Nate Oates knew, and I'm not saying he did, but apparently it sounds like it, if he had any idea that Brandon Miller was involved in the young woman losing her life, and he is still on the team, still playing, still a significant piece to this team being successful, that's unacceptable. And there's going to be more information to come out about this. And I think that's important for us to realize, for our listeners to realize. This thing is about to get really, really dicey. Because
it's ugly, very, very, very fast.
Just because of the severity of this. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Ed, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of echo a lot of what you just said. And, you know, the most absurd thing that's come out of any of this has been, you know, the statement, the wrong place at the wrong time. He went to the wrong place at the wrong time, took a gun, and then, I mean, we've seen the heat's in the hat, you know, I mean, the gun's there and the heat heads in, up top or something, but one in the chamber. I mean, he knew what was about to happen, you know, all of that. It's just, it's in all, a lot of everything that kind of happens in things like this, not everything, but most of them, the cover-up is always worse than the crime. If Bama had just come out and said, hey, we're going to hold this young man out, you know, we don't think he did. But the fact that they're trying to cover it up, I do not see this playing out well at all.
No, it's going to be really, really ugly. And again, if it comes out that Alabama and Nate Oates and this program and Tuscaloosa police or whoever, if they knew that Brandon Miller was involved, which, again, it sounds like that's the case, and they chose not to do anything until today, that's really going to get bad, because you're right. You're talking about a cover-up situation where it's just there's no good excuse for that.
No, and one more point I was just going to say we're talking right now, everybody's talking about, you know, that part of it, but the civil part of it will come up later. This lady that got murdered and everything, this young man took the gun to murder her. So, you know, you can bet there's going to be civil lawyers just jumping all over this, you know.
Yeah,
and they're going to go after Alabama. They're going to go after Nate Oates, and they're going to go after probably Greg, you know, Burns, and you know, and DeMarco. I mean, Miller. Before anybody thinks I'm just jumping on this, Auburn went after this kid, you know, and life happens bad sometimes. You don't take a gun to an argument, you know. You
right.
Just say, "Hey, man, we need to cool out, chill out." You know, I mean, you're supposed to have better sense than that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Ed, you know, we're talking about 18 to 21 year olds that are involved here, right? I mean, we're talking very, very young, quote unquote, adults. I mean, they're still borderline kids, right? I mean, it's just that's the problem too.
Yeah. But the other thing, we're talking about grown adults that have covered it up instead of addressing it. I think, like I said, I think like most instances like this, the cover-up is always what gets you, you know. And I think this is very bad for Alabama.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, guys, I'm gonna listen to the rest of the show.
I appreciate the call, Ed. We appreciate to hear from you. That's Ed joining us on the phone lines, 334-321-1390, and just talking about the crazy news that has come out of Tuscaloosa today. And just to give you some more quotes from what the police had to say in the preliminary hearings today for this case, right? You had two young men who were charged with a murder. The preliminary hearings were today, and some wild information has come out about this. And the police said, according to AL.com, from this preliminary hearing, they said that Miles, who was the Darius Miles, right, who was charged with the murder, said that Miles said Miller sent a text message to bring Miles's gun to where the shooting took place. So where they were, right? Miller's car was hit twice by gunfire during this shooting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that the police said, and according to them, they said when Miller got to the scene, Miles told Davis, the other young man who was involved in this, and we've said this already, but the heat is in the hat, which was meant to be that the gun was present. Miles then added, "There's one in the head," which was meant to say, "There's a round in the chamber." And Miles then moved his girlfriend back to get her out of the line of fire, is what the police said. And they said that Miller isn't facing charges because, quote, "there's nothing we could charge him with according to the law." So I don't know how deep this goes. I don't know how big this gets. I don't know. Here's what we've got to find out is who knew and who didn't say anything and who told who is what you got to find out. Because the fact that there was another young man involved in this situation who drove to the scene, brought the weapon.
Bradley was there too.
Right.
Or his car was there at least. His car was used in this instance.
I mean, you're talking about how the gun got from point A to point B, and point B being where the murder took place. And you're talking about another Alabama basketball player that brought that weapon that eventually killed a young woman. And look, before this comes up in any way, shape, or form, this has nothing to do with it being Alabama. Has nothing to do with that. So go ahead and take that out of it. Has nothing to do with that. This is a situation that happened to be in Tuscaloosa. This could have been anywhere else and we'd still be talking about it. But you look at the severity of this situation, the impact this has already had on the country, and the impact and the really just the significance of who is involved here and what this means for the future of these young men, of Alabama basketball, and basketball as a whole. Because this is a really, really, really bad look right now. And the fact that Nate Oates gave a very questionable quote today makes me feel really sick.
That given the sensitivity and the just, if nothing else, the horrific situation that Brandon Miller placed himself in. I mean, we've seen guys miss time in any sport. We've seen athletes miss time in any sport for a lot less than this. And he hasn't missed a single game. He hasn't missed a single minute. It's just this, it makes my skin crawl a little bit.
Yeah. It's just, it's a bad situation. And we're going to continue to talk about it. And as time goes on, we're going to get more information. And we're going to see what, again, who knew, who didn't know, who told who, and who held it away from everybody. Because I think those are very, very important situations. Ed has called back in with another question. We got to get to a break. Ed, we'll get back to you when we come back. If you want to call in, 334-321-1390, talking the crazy news that's coming out of Tuscaloosa today. We'll continue talking about it and get to the phone lines when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins and Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Ed has called back in with another question. Ed, you're back on the line, man. Welcome in.
Hey, I just thought about one more thing, and I was just going to throw it up. I hadn't heard anybody talk about it. Of course, this just has come up today. But what you want to look at is consistency and how any program implements, you know, discipline or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think it's mighty interesting that Alabama, they kicked the one kid who was a backup off the next day, that night, and they didn't kick off the kid that brought the gun. If Miller was not a five-star and not leading that country, I mean, that university and leading the country in, you know, as far as play, do you think they wouldn't have already kicked him off?
It's a good question. I mean, and that's where the question of who is Nate Oates as a coach and a person, what's the message in that locker room and in that program, it's a fair question.
And you've got two guys that were involved in the same incident, and one of them got kicked off immediately, and the other one, nothing was even said about him. Just play him and act like it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, nobody had any idea he was even – nobody had any idea he was even involved.
Well, I mean, that's what they act like. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't think y'all do either.
Well, I'm saying nobody outside of that program knew.
Yeah, but the people inside that program, if they kicked the one kid off, they should have kicked the other kid off. But, you know, they kicked off the sacrificial lamb, and they kept the star. It just seems mighty hypocritical, and somebody's going to bring it up as a question, and y'all have more ways to kind of get that out there than I would. Mm-hmm. So I'd appreciate, y'all's input on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure it'll come up.
Oh, it'll come up. It'll come up. We appreciate the call, Ed. It'll come up for sure, and we'll get into that. Of just talking about, if Alabama saw this differently because of Brandon Miller's status, right, because of his ranking and his skill set and his impact on that team, right? That will come up. It is a very fair question. It's a popular question that comes up in a situation like this when you have, A, the severity of a situation, B, when you have late information come out weeks after the incident, and C, when it involves somebody with the status of Brandon Miller. We will talk about that later on coming up. But we have Dan coming on to the show. Dan, you're on the line.
Hey, guys. You guys doing okay?
Yeah, doing all right, man. What you got?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll find out more information sooner than later, but if that would have happened to any other person, say they weren't athletes or say they weren't, somebody, important, you'd at least get accessory. You may not be charged with the main crime, but if you brought the gun, I bet you if you went out and you looked at all the different people who've been charged with murder or whatever in the whole state of Alabama, probably 99% would get charged with accessory for bringing the gun.
Yeah, if that was known that somebody brought the gun to the scenario where a murder took place, they would be investigated at the very, very minimum. They would have been questioned and investigated, not let go home and continue to play basketball.
Yeah, and I'm trying to understand the one thing you said, because I haven't had a chance to read up about it, but if you used your vehicle to block somebody in where they can't get away, and I don't know how that wouldn't make you an accessory,
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And again, I'm not. I didn't go to law school. I don't know all that. But if you are involved, if you drove, again, taking the weapon there, if you drove people away, if your vehicle was involved in the incident that led to somebody getting murdered, you are a part of that. In my opinion, you're a part of that, and you are just as much to blame, because even if you're not the one that pulled the trigger necessarily, you are still a cause, and you had a hand in that situation taking place. And in my book, you're just as guilty as they are.
What I have issue with is that part that certainly reads in the AL.com article, like Jaden Bradley and Brandon Miller used their cars to box this car in, the victim's car in. If that turns out to be true, We're talking about a whole lot that has either not been forthright, truthful to this point. And that throws the whole thing out of the window of what is known and what isn't known going into this encounter, to me.
Yeah, and there might be an FBI investigation soon.
Yeah, something's going to have to happen. Well, man, I recommend that you read into it. I recommend everybody read into it. But, Dan, we appreciate the call, man.
Appreciate it.
That is Dan joining us on the phone lines. And I can't stress that enough. I highly recommend going and reading it for yourself, getting the information. Look, we're a radio show, right? We talk about the news, and we are not reporting anything here. We are not reporting anything. We are simply telling you what we have heard, what we have seen, where it's all accessible to anybody that wants to go and find it. So I highly recommend you go and read this for yourself.
Interpreting what we've read.
Yes, exactly. And so take what we say however you want, but don't hold us for what, we're not reporting this information. We're just, like Carter said, interpreting what we're seeing. And what we're seeing right now is that Brandon Miller was involved in the murder over in Tuscaloosa a few weeks ago, where he has reportedly and supposedly, according to police in the testifying, that he brought the gun to the location, loaded, ready to go, where a young woman lost her life in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And according to Nate Oates, he knew about it and was very open about that. And we've got his quote and the question that was asked of him in his press conference today. We're going to play that when we come back, talk about that, and try to get some other news into your rotation today. If you want to call in, 334-321-1390. We'll have Nate Oates' quote when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. We have Terry waiting on the phone lines, but before we get to him, I want to play the audio from Nate Oates today, who was asked about when this news came out, when the testifying was happening and this information came out that Brandon Miller was involved in the shooting a couple of weeks ago there in Tuscaloosa, where he reportedly brought the gun and used his car in the situation. Nate Oates had a very questionable and really just jaw-dropping response when he was asked about that information today. And so he was asked a question in his press conference. He gave a very just shocking answer, and we're going to play that for you, and then we're going to get to Terry on the phone line. So this is what Nate Oates had to say after the question was asked about the information about Brandon Miller being involved in the killing in Tuscaloosa.
There is a situation, just how comfortable were you with his proximity to that, and also if there's any NBA scouts who might be inquiring, what would you say to them about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've known the situation since been. We've been fully cooperating with law enforcement the entire time. I mean, it's the whole situation's sad. I mean, you just think of it. We team closed practice with a prayer for the situation today. Again, knowing that we had this trial today, I mean, you think of Jamia and her family and Kane. Really think about her son Kane that was left behind. It's sad. We knew about that. I mean, you know, can't control everything anybody does. Outside of practice, nobody knew that was going to happen. College kids are out. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor has he any type of trouble in this case. It's like in the wrong spot at the wrong time. So we'll address it when I'm sure NBA scouts will ask. They do their homework. But yeah, I mean, we think the article that it came out, it also stated Brandon's been interviewed. He's, you know, they're comfortable with everything that happened there.
So that is what Nate Oates said today about the information that was testified by the Tuscaloosa police in the hearing, in the preliminary hearings today. I don't know what word to use. I really don't.
The way that he tries to, like, chalk this up is like, oh, like, well, we can't control everybody when they're not at the facility. Like, the culture wouldn't have an impact on something like that. Like, he can't, and he, as a leader of men, doesn't have the opportunity to instill some leadership and instill the culture where something like this would not happen. That bothers me. The way he's like, oh, well, nobody knew that this was going to happen. I mean, I guess. But then the way that he chalks it up is like college kids basically going out. Like, this is what you, that's the quote you, we talked about it when we listened to it in between breaks. That's the quote you have when you have a player that gets a public intoxication, not three players involved in a murder.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And the fact
this is, that plays so poorly. He knew that this was going, this question was eventually going to be asked for what, a month and a half?
Yeah.
A month and a half. And that was his answer. That was it.
Yeah.
College kids go out, wrong place, wrong time. Are you joking?
We're looking at about a month since this happened in Tuscaloosa. And Nate Oates was very, he was very open about, yeah, we knew. We knew about it. We've been working with police. We knew. Okay. You knew that this is, that this has been happening. You knew there was more information in this situation, and you had to wait for the preliminary hearings for this to come out? Come on, man. There's a lot to be said here about that quote. I want to get to Terry on the phone lines. He's been waiting patiently. Terry, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Don't you hate the slow news days?
Yeah, I'm telling you what. Yeah. I'm telling you.
I mean, guys, the two biggest things in this, we got to remember, a young lady is now dead.
Yes. Yep. That is first and foremost, that is the most important thing to remember here.
And the biggest thing that bothers me the most, and I don't know if it bothers you, and it hasn't gotten much mention, but the DA said there's nothing we could charge him with.
Yeah.
That's got cover written all over it.
There was nothing we could charge him with based off the rules of the law.
Terry, the entire rhetoric around this and the fact that a young woman lost her life and was murdered.
A mother.
Yes, that as well. The rhetoric around this, that's what makes my skin crawl, and this makes this entire situation sick to my stomach. And this is gross. Like I don't know how we got to this point, but I mean, there's just nothing about this situation feels right.
Well, keep in mind, guys, there's parents that are going to grow up without a daughter, and yes, there's a child that's going to be raised without a mother.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and he says clear as that.
Yeah, and again, like Carter has mentioned, Nate Oates just chalked it up to college kids being college kids, and wrong place, wrong time is what he said about Brandon Miller, who got a text, was asked to bring the weapon, drove there. His car was involved in the situation. He was there. He was present for this. But that was wrong place, wrong time? No, I don't buy it.
You guys are probably too young to read this, but it kind of sounds like some of the rhetoric DuBose was giving at the end of his tenure at Alabama.
It's interesting.
Because things are going on with the Jimmy John situation.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Terry. That is Terry joining us on the phone lines, 334-321-1390, and just talking about the chilling news that has come out in Tuscaloosa about more parties being involved in this killing. And a month ago in Tuscaloosa, of a 23-year-old mother who was murdered in the strip of Tuscaloosa, where you had now three Alabama basketball players involved in this situation, but we're just now learning this a month away. A month later, we're just now learning there was more parties involved.
Yeah, this is crazy. And I mean, I find it wild that it has taken this long for the information and just how involved and who all was present around this situation, how long it took for all of this information to come out.
It took a month for the police to say that Brandon Miller was involved. It took them a month to come into the preliminary hearings of the court case of the other two that were charged with this. Like, you're telling me they couldn't have come forward at any other time? And I don't know the rules of the law like that. I don't, so if I'm wrong here, let me know. But you're telling me in this month, there was nobody they could bring this up to and say, hey, oh, by the way, that murder weapon, the gun that was used to kill a young mother? Yeah, there was actually a third person who brought that to them for this situation to happen. Just thought I'd mention that. But no, that conversation didn't happen. You're telling me you have to wait a month for this family, for a daughter, for parents, for an entire family to realize, oh, there's more to this story. There is more information to a mother, a daughter, a friend, a neighbor that got murdered. There's more information, but we're waiting a month for this to come out.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Alabama knew. It sounds like the police obviously knew. They're the ones that said it today. We're waiting a month for this information to come out.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
This entire situation is so horrifically sad, and it's an awful look optically for the University of Alabama. Everything about it feels fishy and grimy and dirty and wrong. And I don't even know, man. This is such a... I can't recall, since I've been like closely following sports the way that I have, a situation playing out like this in real time in the middle of a season with the number one team in the country.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, is when something like this happens, right, when a crime takes place, a situation goes down, whether it is an unfortunate killing like this or if it's a drug bust or whatever you've seen in the years and years and years of athletes getting in trouble, right, these situations are always... they're always bigger and louder and more complicated because it is dealing with athletes. That's just how it's... same thing if a celebrity gets into this situation, a movie star, right? When big names are involved in big situations, they get more coverage, they get bigger, and they are louder than a than another situation with people that are involved that nobody knows anything about, right? You know what I'm saying here. When it's athletes involved, these situations are just bigger. And when it comes down to, you're talking about middle to end of February, as the college basketball season is nearing the biggest month in the year of March, you're dealing with a team who is a top three team in the country, was just ranked number one. You're dealing with a young man who is the best freshman in college basketball, who's going to be drafted top five, top 10 in the NBA draft, who's going to make millions and millions of dollars in the NBA. Yeah, this situation has gotten a whole lot more dicier, and not in a good way. This situation has become a national story, because when this broke, when this happened a month ago, it was like, wow, nobody expected this, right? You had Alabama basketball players who were involved in a murder. They were kicked off the team, arrested, and charged.
And the speed and quickness that it was dismissed by the Alabama program.
We talked about that, how weird it was.
It was very odd. And now, I mean, if you go look on Twitter right now, there's national sports media, college basketball personalities saying they don't see a way that Brandon Miller plays another minute at Alabama.
Well, they play tomorrow night at South Carolina, and they better be lucky they're not playing tonight, where they at least have 24 hours for Alabama and Nate Oates to figure out what in the world they're going to do. Because there's one right decision to make right now. He should not play. He shouldn't play. There's no doubt. He should not play. And look, I am a big, big supporter in gaining all the information before making a decision, before making a statement, before making a claim. I'm all about that. In the business we're in, you have to be that way. You do. You have to be that way, and the ones that aren't are the ones that get in trouble. You should find all the information before you discipline, before you make a statement, before you make that decision. I'm all about that. And if that's what's happening here, and that's what was happening with Nate Oates and Brandon Miller in this situation, fine. I get that. We don't know. That's what is so confusing, and that's what's frustrating, is we don't know what they know, and we don't know how long they knew, and we don't know what the true situation is. I'm all about gaining the information, and if that's what Nate Oates and this program were doing with Brandon Miller, fine. But if they knew a month ago when this happened that Brandon Miller was as involved as the police said he was today, and he has still been playing and still been an impact on the floor.
He said he knew.
Right,
I'm saying, in his own words.
Yeah. Yeah. That's messed up.
I feel like if this drags out into a full-blown trial, this is only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse from here. Compared to what public perception is right now, which I can tell you nationally, it's really, really bad. I've already talked to people all over the country about this. It's really bad. If this goes to a trial, this can only get worse.
And that's the question, is where does this go now, right? What is the next step for the police, for the court, for Alabama, for Nate Oates, for Brandon Miller, for the family of the young woman that was murdered a month ago, where this story, again, it was in the headlines. And like you said, Alabama, they dismissed it pretty quickly. And it's been out of the news. That's how today's world works. Today's news is tomorrow's past, right? I mean, the next day, most people don't care anymore. But this story has been dug back up. It shouldn't have gone anywhere, because again, a young woman lost her life. But now it is a national headline again, with Alabama basketball written all over it. In a bad, bad way. And I just don't know. And look, again, it has nothing to do with it being Alabama. It could be any other school in the country, and we'd still be talking about it with this significance because of how big of an issue this is.
I mean, you look back to Darius Geis at LSU.
Yeah.
LSU legitimately covered that up. And that was heinous. I mean, I'm not saying that this has been some sort of elaborate cover-up, But we've seen elaborate cover-ups by schools in the past.
Yeah.
We've seen it. And we've seen schools get caught. It doesn't matter who committed what crime at what school. But I will say, because of this Alabama program and where they're at right now, and because of who Brandon Miller is, this is going to get a heck of a lot more exposure than because of the national stage that they're on, right or wrong. This is not going away. It's not going away for a long time. For a long time.
And it shouldn't. And justice should be served, whatever that justice is. Whatever it is. Whatever that is. When all the information is laid on the table, the parties involved need to be held responsible. The people that knew, whatever the information is, right? Because here's what's important. We're only going to learn more. And it's not going to be pretty. We're going to learn even more about this situation. Who was involved? Who knew? Who held it back? And who stayed quiet? We're going to learn all of this. And it's going to come out fast.
Which is why, if this goes to a trial, like, it would, if there is more to this, all it takes is one guy, one person on a witness stand to slip up one time for this whole thing to unravel. If there's more to it.
And the easy assumption would be that there is more information. I don't know that. I have no idea. This could be it, right? But given what has happened, and given that this is how we learned, and this is how long it's been that we learned this, my guess is there's probably some more information to this. And we're going to have to find out, because we don't know. And there's a very few people that probably do. And until they're able to find those people and get that information out of them, all we can do is deal with what we're given. And just chilling information coming out of Tuscaloosa today, about a month later, that Jamia Harris, 23, a mother, was killed in Tuscaloosa. It involved Alabama basketball players. It turns out it involved at least one more. And Brandon Miller was involved, and the police were in a preliminary hearing today. They gave information about how he brought the weapon to the scene. He brought the gun to use to kill Jamia Harris, is what the police said today. And it's just, it's sad, because again, you have a 23-year-old mother who is dead because of it, and we can't even get the facts straight. We can't even get all the information to figure out why she was murdered, or who murdered her, or who was a part of it. It's messed up, man. It's messed up. We got to get to our final break. We'll come back, wrap it up, look at some bracketology. We'll get into hour number two. This is the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7 to sort of change directions a little bit. Staying with college basketball, but to get out of the just shocking news out of Tuscaloosa. I'm running out of words to use on that. But to look at bracketology, which was updated today from Joe Lunardi at ESPN, to look at where the SEC stands right now, where Auburn stands right now, and where college basketball is when it comes to bracketology, as we are just less than 3 weeks away from Selection Sunday. So excited for that. And as of right now, you may want to put a little asterisk by this. Alabama is your top overall seed in bracketology right now. And for obvious reasons, we'll see if that's what ends up happening. First team out is North Carolina. Last team in, Carter, I know you're excited about this one. Wisconsin, the last team in. I know you just are so happy, and you completely understand why they're in the tournament.
Well, it's, I mean, if they want to make the tournament, it just makes Northwestern's resume look that much stronger. I mean, there, sure, go ahead. It's, if they want to climb into the top 75, that's another quad one win for
there
Northwestern.
You go.
They're currently 76.
Ooh, right there. Well, you look at the last four byes. Look at the bubble right now for bracketology. Last four byes, West Virginia, obviously a team Auburn has played. Teams that are on the bubble, last four in, Mississippi State and USC. And then those are the teams that Auburn has played. But Mississippi State, USC, two teams that are last four in, games that Auburn has played this year. And you look at your one seeds, Alabama, Houston, Purdue, and Kansas. You look at the SEC breakdown. They currently have eight teams in the tournament. And we were asked that question yesterday about how many teams we think from the SEC are going to get in. I still think eight's a little high. I really do. I think one or two teams may...
Here's why I don't think so. I think the bubble is crazy weak, and we can talk more about this when we come back.
Yeah, we'll start the second hour with it.
The bubble was about as weak as I've ever seen it.
Well, Kentucky getting a win this weekend definitely helped the SEC. We'll talk more about bracketology and college basketball. Some big games coming up tonight. Hour number two coming up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you all are having a good day. Sun is starting to shine a little bit here in Auburn, Alabama. So very busy hour number one. If you missed any of it, be sure to go and catch up with the podcast. You can find it ESPNAU.com. Click on the podcast center and you'll find a commercial free right there. Really just covering pretty much the whole first hour. Was covering the chilling news that has come out of Tuscaloosa today, furthering the information about the murder in Tuscaloosa of Jamia Harris, who is 23, a mother who was killed with a couple of Alabama basketball players that were involved in the situation. Turns out there was one more, as police testified today in a preliminary hearing and said that Brandon Miller, star freshman, one of the best players in all of college basketball, he brought the gun to the scene. The gun that killed Jamia Harris is what the police testified today. And he received a text. He took the gun. It had a bullet in it. And he was involved. His car was involved. His car got shot a couple of times. This is a crazy situation. And I highly recommend, I talked about this in the first hour, I highly recommend that you go and read the stories for yourself. AL.com is who reported it first, I believe. Carol Robinson's story on AL.com. The title reads, Darius Miles asked Brandon Miller to bring gun to use to kill Jamia Harris, as police testifies. So go and read the articles, get the information for yourself, and it's just a chilling situation. So we'll touch on that again here in hour number two in just a little bit. But want to continue what we ended the first hour with, Carter, looking at bracketology, right? Looking at where Auburn stands, where the SEC stands right now, as it is February 21st, Tuesday, February 21st. You have Selection Sunday coming up in just a few weeks. It is very quickly approaching. And the SEC has eight teams in it. That includes Auburn, where they sit right now. For Auburn is a 10 seed. They have gone down. They were an 8 seed with the loss at Vanderbilt. They have dropped to a 10 seed, according to Joe Lunardi. They are now in the east portion of the bracket, matched up with number 7 Providence. If they were to win that, they would more than likely play number 2 Baylor. So Auburn has moved off of the Purdue line, but they've moved into the Providence and Baylor line, which is very, very tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I guess, great, but I will I feel more comfortable with that. I feel like this Auburn team, well, I think Baylor's an awful matchup for Auburn because of how good those guards can be.
Guards would have a field day.
But I still feel like Auburn's got a better shot with Baylor than they did Purdue.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Like we saw what Liam Robbins did to Auburn. Getting to the free throw line, getting fouled, We saw how quickly he put Jahni Broome in foul trouble in the second half, because Jahni went from no fouls to four fouls like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Zach Edey, it's going to be that on steroids.
Yeah.
So I'd rather avoid him. Yes, there's more favorable two matchups out there that I think Auburn could draw. Baylor's probably not who I would love. Probably my least favorite draw for Auburn out of the twos. But you got to feel, honestly, better about the chances you could get to a Sweet 16 out of this draw than you did the last one.
I don't know, man. Providence is really, really good.
They are. They
Providence are. Is a really good squad, man. And look, take the matchups out of it for a second. If Auburn doesn't figure it out, I said this yesterday and I believe it, Auburn is not winning a game in the tournament. They will not make it to the second game in the tournament, the round of 32, if they don't figure some things out.
Yeah.
Because the way they're playing, it's very inconsistent. If they play like they did against Missouri, where they punched them in the mouth, everything was going right, guys were shooting career nights from beyond the arc, yeah, you can win a game or two in the NCAA tournament. But if you play like you did on Saturday at Vanderbilt, which was a 50-50 crowd, yes, it's a weird gym, but you had that place packed out with Orange and Auburn fans, you played a mediocre game. You played a mediocre game. You didn't do anything special. You didn't do anything crazy. And it showed, because you went in there and let Vanderbilt beat you for their fifth straight victory in a row. Credit to them. They're playing really well. But Vanderbilt is a beatable team. They're not a tournament team. They're not a tournament team at all. And if you can't win that game, you're not going to beat Providence in the first round. You're not going to beat NC State in the first round. You're not going to beat anybody in the tournament.
I don't necessarily agree with you. I mean, there's matchups that Auburn could draw where Auburn could win a first-round game. Saturday was not a good matchup, and I know Vanderbilt's not a tournament team. But if the Vanderbilt of the last five games was playing all year, they would be. They would be. Because they, like, that's a better team than it says on paper. And it shows with what they've done over the last five games. They're going to win again. Do they play tonight? They play a game that they should win. I think they play South Carolina.
Well, no, Alabama plays South Carolina tomorrow.
They play somebody who they should beat.
Don't they play Ole Florida? I think they play Florida without Colin Castleton. Is that right?
I know they play them coming up. I don't know if they play
them. We had their schedule today. Pulled up yesterday. I'm about to find it real quick. But I get what you're saying. I do. Vanderbilt is playing better basketball than
Vanderbilt would beat teams that will make this tournament. I'll say that. And we know that they can. They're at LSU tomorrow.
Win.
They're going to win that game. And then after that, like, this Vanderbilt team, no joke, they get on the road at LSU, Florida at home. We're talking about a team that very easily could win seven straight games going to Rupp. I mean, going to Rupp's going to be difficult, but then you also get State at home. It's going to be another tough matchup, but I think they can win three of the Final Four with what we've seen.
What would that make their record?
That would make them, if they go three for their last four, they go 18-13 on the year. How differently would you feel about the loss at Vanderbilt, given the weird circumstances of their court, if they finish 18-13, considering when you went into that game, they were 14-12? How differently would you feel?
I'd feel a little bit better about it. I would. But again, it's still not...
It's not a good loss. Like, yeah. I mean, it's not a bad loss.
I go back to the fact of it's not even about Vanderbilt. It's not even the fact that you lost on the road at Vanderbilt, which there's an argument that should never happen. But it's the way that Auburn played. And that's the issue that I have. It's the way that Auburn plays from game to game to game. Because you look at how they play, and sometimes you look at it, and look, there's no doubt about it. And I think there is agreeance across the entire city of Auburn and every Auburn fan in the country. This is not a deep, deep tournament team. It's just not. It's just not there this year. And that's okay, because this is college basketball. And you can't be great every single year. You can try, and you can be great a lot of years, but you're going to have down years. It is what it is. But you look at how this team has played down the stretch, in the games that they should have won, at Tennessee, at Texas A&M, home for Alabama, those were games that they played well and should have won, but they didn't. Then they played Missouri, they played well, and they blew the doors off of them. Then you're like, okay, this is a good chance for Auburn to get a little bit more momentum, fix some things,
go in and
beat a team against Vanderbilt that you are so much better than, and you lose. And that's my issue. That's the issue. It has nothing to do with Vanderbilt because, again, credit to them, they're playing well. And they have a chance to finish the year really well. But the fact that Auburn, when it comes down to it, you're 3 weeks away from the NCAA tournament. You can't go on the road and get a win against a bottom-tier SEC team when you need it. Even when the matchup's not there, even when you're more talented.
That's where you and I are disagreeing here, is Vanderbilt's not a bottom-tier SEC team right now. They're not. Let me look at the standings. Vanderbilt right now is one game out of third place. Third place in this conference. They're tied with Auburn for fifth. If they win at Ruff, Vanderbilt's getting a double bye. Vanderbilt is not this. If we pick apart the non-conference and we pick apart the time that they really struggled without Liam Robbins when he was hurt, but it's a different team. And they've played really well in conference play.
I'm with you. And I'm not, look, again, I'm not saying that Vanderbilt is, bottom tier may have been a bad way to put it. I'm not saying they're a horrible team. This is not the Vanderbilt of the past that wins one SEC game all year, right? They're a solid team, and they're playing really well.
Stackhouse has gone from 6 weeks or 3 weeks ago, potentially talking about you maybe firing him because you had lost 4 out of 5 without Liam Robbins, to he saved his job because they've made such progress. They'll be an NIT team. They'll make a run in the NIT, I bet. And he might actually be building something. And the way that you hear people talk about Vanderbilt, you heard Zepp talk about how great of a coach he is and the Stackhouse is and how he runs NBA sets. I mean, I saw somebody say that Stackhouse is your favorite coach's favorite coach because of what he runs and how good he is at game planning.
Well, look at the final play.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful play. And that's, again, Vanderbilt's playing well. They are. They're playing well.
The best thing for Auburn right now is Vanderbilt keep winning.
No, the best thing would have been Auburn to go in and win this stupid game. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know what you're saying.
I know. But that's my issue, is in a game that you needed to win. You needed to win this game to show yourself we can win games like this when they matter the most down the stretch. We talked about it. Was it a must win? Technically, no, because they're still in the tournament, right? But this is a game I just feel like if you can't go, and let's say it's a good Vanderbilt team, because they are. They're playing good right now. You've got to be able to win these types of games. If you want to have any chance in the tournament, these are games you have to be able to win.
Yes.
And Auburn has not proven to me that they can win these types of games. They have not proven to me they can win against a team that's playing good, that's hot down the stretch, and get a win when they need it. Auburn has not proven that to me yet.
Was Missouri? I mean, Missouri had won like 5 of 6 coming in. They'd just beaten Tennessee. They were playing really good ball coming in, and you smoke them.
Which is fair.
Now Auburn's really bad going into a hostile environment, yeah. But NCAA tournament, I mean, SEC tournament, if you run into Kentucky, yeah, it's a hostile environment. But
yeah,
NCAA tournament, it's neutral site. Now, Auburn doesn't shoot particularly great neutral site either. But, like, this Auburn team has really, really struggled on the road. Like, in a true hostile environment, in a true road environment, that's where they've struggled. And I think that is totally fair to be critical of. But I think when you look up and down the country, teams don't win on the road right now. It doesn't happen in the Big 12, really. I mean,
it never happens in the Big 12.
Baylor had Kansas on Saturday. Had them. It was over. Everybody on my Twitter timeline was trying to tell me Baylor's the best team in the country. And then 20 minutes later, they get smoked.
And don't write off Baylor, though.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not by any stretch. But even in the Big 10, look at what happened last week. Purdue and Indiana go on the road to Northwestern. and get beat. It's hard to win on the road in college basketball and conference play.
It is.
And Auburn has struggled at that. But I don't think it is fair to say this team cannot beat a tournament team when they had just beat Missouri 2 games ago. A Missouri team that is sitting at like a 7 or 8 seed right now.
But it is fair to say that because they have one win over a tournament team in their last 10 tries. They've won. They've beaten Missouri.
That is fine. Okay,
and that's like, my problem,
like,
too.
I get that. Well, State's a tournament team. Arkansas's a tournament team.
Right, but those out of 10 games, yeah.
Yes. But, yeah, you've played Tennessee, who has the best defense in the country. You've played Alabama, who, to this point, has been basically the best team in the country, up there with Kansas. And then a Texas A&M team that has been a buzzsaw in conference play. They're a tournament team as well.
I'm with you.
You ran into the three best teams in the conference in a lot of those losses. You lost at West Virginia. It's going to happen. That's on the road at a Big 12 team that's really good.
But I go back to all of those games that they lost that we just talked about, that you just mentioned. Those were winnable games. And that's,
I agree.
And that is why I worry. That's what I worry about with this Auburn team is they can run with anybody. They've proven that. They have not been blown out at all. They have ran with everybody. But can they beat these teams on a consistent basis? The Missouri game was fantastic. Give every credit, ounce of credit that's due. They went in there and smoked Missouri at home. Give them credit. It was a big win. They needed it. But what did they do after that? They go on the road and lose to Vanderbilt. And that's my issue is they're not doing this consistently, and I don't have the confidence in them to beat teams like this on a borderline night-in, night-out basis, which is what the NCAA tournament is.
I mean, I think you look around the country and you can say you feel confident on a team beating tournament-caliber teams on a night-in, night-out basis about, like, 4 teams in the country?
Very fair. Very fair. Absolutely.
And like Alabama, which we don't know what the future of that program looks like right now. We don't know if the roster that's played all year plays the rest of the year. Kansas, Purdue, I guess, but even they've struggled recently. I mean, your hottest teams in the SEC are Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. In the ACC, I don't even know. That conference is so bad. It's Kansas in the Big 12. It's Northwestern in the Big 10. It's Arizona and UCLA in the Pac-12. Like, there's a lot of tournament teams that have had a lot of brutal stretches. I mean, Kansas lost 3 in a row, and we thought they were cooked. Kentucky lost a bunch in a row, a bunch of games, and we're like, they're going to the NIT again. Like, this happens. I think college basketball is weak this year. I think there is no dominant team. Everybody's capable of losing. I think your best two teams right now are Alabama and Kansas. And I think everybody else, to an extent, has a lot of flaws and can lose to just about anybody.
And I agree. And it's a fair point to say that Auburn's not alone. But just breaking down this Auburn team and watching them play day in, day out, week in, week out, I'm worried about this team because I had worries about last year's team. I was worried about them when they were the number one team in the country because they had problems that didn't get fixed. I'm seeing the same thing. They're different problems, but they're the same problems this team has had since December.
I just think that there's more teams with more problems this year than we've seen in the past recent years.
I'm with you. And that's the question. It's been, is college basketball down or the SEC down or is it just more competitive? I think it's all just down. But it's going to make for a fun March, which, if you take all this and put a little bow on it, makes anything possible in March Madness. Because all it takes is a team to get hot. It's all it takes. And you never know what's going to happen in the NCAA tournament.
Here's, before we go to break, here's a tweet from Dan Wolkin about the Alabama situation. My column on Nate Oates and the dumpster fire at Alabama is on the way. Truly one of the more shocking and disappointing days I've had covering college sports in a while. Oates and athletic director Greg Byrne should be ashamed. It's everywhere now.
Oh, yeah, it's out.
Barstool Sports. They're already writing about it. Everybody's writing about it.
It's out. It's out. No doubt about it. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. Shane, hold on. We're going to get to you on the other side of the break. You'll be first up as we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. And Shane, you're on the line. We appreciate you holding on, man. What you got?
Hey guys. I think the frustration is that there's a lot of teams that are up and down and they lose this. I don't really know about the reasons why these other teams are doing this or not doing that, or I don't really care what anybody else's record is except for Auburn's, to be honest. And the way that we play is we'll get up and we'll smash a team. We'll like everybody's firing and like it's amazing. And so we'll smash South Carolina and then we'll
it's played with the same effort. To me, it's effort. It's like it's not as intense during those games. It's like these are like what is classified as a must win, and so we're all clicking. But you know, then the next week you go and there's no effort from half of them, or from three of them, or from one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just. It's frustrating to see the potential, because you can see, you know, you go out and you beat Georgia by 20 points, and then you lay, you know, three eggs in a
row.
Even though they're by, you know, a few points. We lost Tennessee by a bucket. You know, A&M at the end got away, but that was because of, you know, free throw, time management kind of thing. And same thing with Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go and you smash Missouri, and then you let one slip away at Missouri. I mean, at Vanderbilt. It wasn't as intense to me as it was on the other games that we won. You know, it just seemed like we're missing something.
Right.
And that's concerning.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Like, and look, when this Auburn team, when they're playing their absolute best basketball for 40 minutes, everybody's playing well, and you could say this about a lot of teams, but just take Auburn for example. Auburn playing their absolute best basketball, if they were to play that in the NCAA tournament, I think with the right matchups, they could get to the Sweet 16. I think that's what they could do, is get to the Sweet 16. But Shane, you're talking about the inconsistency of this, and that's exactly right. That's what's frustrating for Auburn fans, and that's what is worrisome for me, is knowing and really not knowing what Auburn team you're going to get and what performance you're going to get out of Jahni Broome, KD Johnson, Wendell Green Jr., right? That is what is worrisome, and I've seen this story too many times coming down the stretch in college basketball, Shane. It's not a good – it doesn't end well, I promise you, unless you are able to turn it on.
And I don't even know if that's something. Can you coach that? Because that's just. It seems like it's. You know, if just like one or two of the guys just aren't on that night, then it throws everything off.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you. I don't know how you coach that away, or you know, I don't know how to fix that problem.
There's.
Because you can see when they're doing well, when they're all clicking, I think we can run with almost anybody.
Especially this year, like Carter was saying, with college basketball being down like it is, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think it comes down to game planning a lot of times as well with Bruce Pearl. Roster management, lineup management, game planning, coaching. Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with it. At this point, though, if you can't get your guys to get up and play for every single game at this point in the season, you're not going to do it in March, I can tell you that.
But is it even get your boys to get up? Like sometimes, like if someone doesn't see a bucket go down, you know, three or four times in a row, then it just gets with them and it sticks with them all game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's stuff like that can throw everything off. Where if they saw a couple go in the beginning, or you know, at some point a couple in a row, then you know it's completely different. Basketball's weird like that. It's you know. Fluky, and you know, so I don't know the right answer, you know, or you know, it's a good argument, but like, how do you is there anything fixable? Everybody plays well. We can win. I don't know how far we can go. It depends on matchups. Like you guys are saying, if we get some favorable matchups, we can win two or three of those games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we can go past 16, but this year. But you know, maybe we could. You never know. You really just never know. Maybe someone knocks off some of these higher up, you know, teams.
Yeah.
And there's always a chance. But if I don't know, you know, maybe when the tournament gets here, maybe that's a completely different season for Auburn. You know, like a new renewable energy that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, no, I get what you're saying. I do.
To play for.
Yeah, you never know, and that's what makes the NCAA tournament so exciting and so interesting and so unpredictable, is because of you just never really know who's going to play well, whether it's an individual player, a team, whatever it may be. You just truly never know. That's all you can hope if you're an Auburn fan, is that they figure it out down the stretch and just they switch that flip on in March and just figure it out. I think that's what you got to hang your hat on if you're an Auburn fan right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen teams get crazy hot. I mean, we saw the Final Four team get crazy hot. We've seen Kemba Walker and UConn get crazy hot and go win a national championship.
I don't think
Auburn is that kind of team. But yeah, I could also see a situation where you get Wendell Green giving you 20 points a game for four games. I mean, I could certainly see that. And if you're getting that, and you're getting what you're getting out of Jani and Jalen right now, Auburn's a tough team to beat.
And if we get, you know, if Flanagan can get on a roll, just three games in a row, or something, you know, it'd be nice if all of them can get on a good night. Few nights in a row.
Yep, that's all it takes. And with the tournament, when you're playing, you know, one game and then you're playing another one a couple of days later, that's all it takes. Shane, we're up against a break, man. Good to hear from you.
Yep, thanks, guys.
That is Shane joining us on the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you as well. 334-321-1390 as we are about to get to our bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk about just the shocking news coming out of Tuscaloosa as we continue to learn more and more information about the crime and the murder that took place just a month ago that now involves Brandon Miller, the star freshman at Alabama. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
Jacob Goins and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. It's been a weird show today, just talking about the news from Tuscaloosa, the updates on the situation that took place a little over a month ago in Tuscaloosa, where Jamia Harris, 23-year-old mother, was shot and killed in Tuscaloosa downtown on the Strip there in Tuscaloosa, where it involved a couple of Alabama basketball players. And at the time, if you remember the story, it was very big. Two Alabama players were involved in the situation, removed from the team, have been charged since then with the murder. And the preliminary hearings were today in Tuscaloosa, where the Tuscaloosa Police Department had some of the officers on the stand talking about this, and they had the information and released it that Alabama star freshman Brandon Miller brought the gun to the situation, to the scene, that was used to kill Jamia Harris. His car was involved in the situation and had bullet holes in it as he drove away. That is what we learned today, and again, we've been preaching this all day today. I highly, highly, highly recommend you go and read the articles, get the information for yourself. Our job is to not report the news. Our job is to break it down and talk about it and tell you what we think and what we think could happen with this situation. So AL.com is where the article was first posted, reported and posted by Carol Robinson of AL.com. So go and check it out for yourself. Please, please, please inform yourself on everything anything, no matter what it is, always inform yourself multiple ways. But here's what the title reads at AL.com. It says, Darius Miles asked Brandon Miller to bring gun used to kill Jamia Harris, police testify. And here's the first couple of sentences from this article from Carol Robinson of AL.com. It says, Alabama's freshman basketball standout Brandon Miller brought the gun used on the Tuscaloosa Strip killing of a woman that led to capital murder charges for his now former teammate Darius Miles and 20-year-old Michael Buzz Davis, according to law enforcement testimony today. Miles contacted Miller and asked him to bring his gun to where they were, according to police. When Miller got to the scene, Miles told Davis, quote, the heat is in the hat, which has been broken down to that meant the gun was present. Miles then added, quote, there's one in the head, which is meant to say a round was in the chamber. Miles moved his girlfriend back to get her out of the line of fire, and then Miller's windshield was struck twice by gunfire in the shooting, police testified. Another Alabama basketball player, Jaden Bradley, was also at the scene of the shooting, according to the testimony. And that is what the police said today in the preliminary hearing. So we have now learned that Brandon Miller was at the scene. He brought the gun to the situation. His car was shot twice during this entire altercation. And when asked about it, head coach of Alabama basketball, Nate Oates, had this to say. He was asked why Miller was not charged, the Alabama DA, Tuscaloosa Chief Deputy DA, Paula Whitley, there it is. She said, as why Miller has not been charged, that's not a question I can answer. There's nothing we could charge him with according to the law, is what she said.
And I have a hard, considering the, and I come back to the way that it reads in the AL.com article, the description of Jaden Bradley and Brandon Miller using their vehicles to block the road where the victim's car was parked at the time of all of this, I have a hard time believing that statement. Because to me, like, that, one way or another, there's that, to me, that should be something. And I'm totally off base, but that feels like they were at least a part of trying to, if they were trying to intimidate the victim, I don't know. But that's fishy at best. But this entire thing is gross. It's horrible. It feels horrific. And I hate, like, this entire situation makes my skin crawl. Because it doesn't feel right. And if you're an Alabama fan out there, the mental gymnastics I'm seeing to justify what took place and the involvement of Brandon Miller and potentially Jaden Bradley, whose vehicle was there as well, used to block the road. That's gross. Like, don't acknowledge it right now until you at least know more.
And that's
because
the
mental gymnastics is, it's an awful look for that fan base. Awful.
Yeah, and I talked about this in the first hour. I am all about gaining all of the information before making a assumption, I guess, or making a statement and formulating an opinion about a situation and breaking it all down. I'm very, very big on that. And there's more information to be had, and that's the problem I have right now, is the fact that this was a month ago, and we're just now learning that Brandon Miller was a part of this situation who brought the gun. This is confirmed by the police today in the preliminary trial. The police went on the stand and said Brandon Miller brought the weapon, was at the scene, and sounds like he was a part of it. Yeah. And I have a big, big problem with the fact that this was a month ago and we're just now learning this information, because crucial to the crime itself.
And I've seen it acknowledged by some members of the national media. What else happened in that month? What else happened in that month? Do you recall?
Mm.
From when the murder happened to when this came out today, NATO signed a giant extension in the middle of that.
Yep.
That just now, that just looks weird in the middle of all of this.
And again, it comes down to who all knew this crucial information? Because take the basketball side out of it. Take the fact that we know Brandon Miller and we know that it was basketball players involved in this situation, and take out the fact that it's the University of Alabama. Look at this just from a pure crime standpoint. A young woman, 23 years old, Jamia Harris,
a mother,
was murdered in downtown Tuscaloosa. Two young men were arrested and charged with the murder of this woman. And a month later, we're finding out there was a whole other person involved. But apparently, they've known this information. They didn't just learn this yesterday and come out with it today. They've known that Brandon Miller was there. And that is a bad, bad look.
And Nados' quote is awful.
Do we still have that quote, his thing pulled up?
I don't know if we have it pulled up over there, but it's, we've known the situation since it happened. We've been fully cooperating with law enforcement the entire time. The whole situation is sad. The team closed practice with a prayer for the situation today, knowing that we had this trial today. And then he goes on to say, we knew about that, talking about Brandon Miller's presence. Can't control everything anybody does outside of practice, which is an extremely weak statement and does not speak to a very strong culture. Nobody knew this was going to happen. Okay. And then it says, college kids are out. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor is he in any type of trouble in this case. Wrong spot at the wrong time. That is extremely tone deaf. And that, like I said earlier, that's the quote you give. That's the quote you give when you have a player that gets a public intoxication arrest or something like that. Not for somebody who is present and involved, whether to his knowledge or not, in a murder. I hate that quote. And Nate Oates should be ashamed of that quote. And he deserves to, he has to answer for it.
Well, he has to answer for the fact that apparently
he doesn't have control of his program.
Yeah.
Because he had three players involved in this situation.
And so now you look, and the question becomes, where do we go from here? Well, there's a couple of different situations. One, the less important one in my mind, but the one that most people who are listening to this station and are tuning in for sports and reading sports and following the sports world part of this, again, the less important side, in my opinion, what happens with Brandon Miller in Alabama starting tomorrow when they play on the road at South Carolina? He can't play, in my opinion. He can't play.
A lot of national people are saying they don't think he is going to play another minute this year.
And it very well may be the case. And that is the sports side of it. What happens to Brandon Miller? What happens to Alabama this season and beyond? What happens to Nate Oates this season and beyond? But the more important side of this is the legal side of it, the court side of it, the hearing side of it. What happens with Brandon Miller in Alabama and the University of Alabama and Nate Oates and Jamia Harris's family learning all of this information today? Where do you go from here? Because you just learned that this young woman was murdered, who two people have been charged for it, but now there's a third who apparently, according to the police, was at least there, a part of it. And whether or not he knew or not, again, that's a situation they're going to have to figure out legally, and whether he truly had a hand in this or not. And that is just scary to me. The fact that we have gone a month with this information, somebody knew this information, and we're just now learning. That's the part I can't get over. I can't get over it. It has really just baffled me. So there's two sides of this, the legal side and then the sports side. Getting justice for a 23-year-old mother is most important. I don't care what any of you say. That is the most important factor here right now. But to look at it from the sports perspective of this, it's going to be really interesting to see what Alabama, the university, the athletic department, the program of Alabama basketball, head coach Nate Oates, Brandon Miller, what they all end up doing and how this all goes down, because this came out about 2.5 hours ago, and it's a lot to take in. And I'm very curious on what the conversations are inside that athletic department right now at Tuscaloosa. I'm very interested. Somebody knew. is all I'm saying. Somebody new. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Well, this is my opinion. Now, you got statements and you got facts. Now, if these statements by AL.com, if these statements turn out to be facts, Miles asked Miller to bring a gun.
Yes.
That's premeditated.
Well, the argument against that is Miller didn't know why he was being... That's what I have heard people say, is Miller didn't know why he was bringing the gun to Miles.
Which they would have to prove either true or not.
Where I get hung up on it, Spectre, is there's a description of Miller and Jaden Bradley using their cars to block the road around where the victim's car was parked. And if that's the case, that feels like more involvement than what has been portrayed by the University of Alabama and by the Tuscaloosa Police Department.
Well, like I said, these statements here are statements until they're proven facts. And what the police said, it sounds like to me that it was premeditated. But like I said, it's got to be proven that it's premeditated.
Yeah, it does. And that's what this whole process is going to be, is proving, and, it's proving all of that.
But what I'm having trouble with is the DA saying they couldn't charge him with anything.
Yeah, that doesn't sit right with me either, I'll be honest with you. They couldn't charge him based off the rule of the law.
They can't charge him with possession of a weapon because the law changed the 1st of January.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's the only thing he can't get charged with. But he can get charged with manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, or first-degree murder.
Which is a scary thought, man. That's a scary thought for a freshman in college. And think about that. A young woman lost her life, a mother. But think about three young men who are 18 to 21 years old who have just put their entire lives and futures in jeopardy.
Darius Miles is the oldest of the group. Jaden Bradley and Brandon Miller are freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
Who pulled the trigger?
I believe that was Michael Davis.
I believe
it was the Michael Buzz Davis was the one who actually pulled the trigger.
Right, Miller is in more trouble than you think because he's the one that brought the weapon to the situation.
Yeah,
and I agree.
And again, it's going to come down to proving on his side and the lawyer's side or whatever, whether he knew or not what it was going to be used for. Yeah. And that's nothing that we can speak on because we have no idea.
That's right. Well, it'll come out in the wash, though.
Yes.
Yeah, truth will come out, and I hope it does.
I just got the ESPN update, finally, about this situation as we sit here. Finally.
Talk to you later, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Spectre.
It's been up for 3 hours. It's been talked about everywhere, and I just got it.
Yep. Yeah, I see it just now. Alabama, according to ESPN, a notification from the ESPN app, Alabama star basketball player Brandon Miller allegedly provided gun that was used to kill a woman last month, police say. And that's the thing. Spectre's talking about, you know, these are statements that have to be proven true. That's absolutely correct. These all have to be proven true. They better be true, because this is the Tuscaloosa Police Department standing on trial in a preliminary hearing. You better be telling the truth. Those things better be true. Look, this is a horrible situation. I'm not saying it needs to be true because of whatever, but if these police officers and members of the police department are sitting up here and talking about this and giving this information, it better be true. And it will be proven so, if it is.
Yeah.
And I'm with him. The fact that they couldn't charge him based off the law at the time, I just don't buy it. And the fact that this has been sat on for a month, we've sat on this information. Somebody did. I don't know who. Yeah. Somebody sat on this information because, as far as I know, and I very well may be proven wrong, they didn't just learn this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They've had this information and they waited until this hearing, and maybe that's the legal side of it. I don't know. Maybe they were supposed to sit on it. I don't know. Sounds a little fishy to me. And at the end of the day, it's a horrible, horrible, horrible situation that it's going to continue to get nastier because more information is going to come out. More clarity is going to become of this, I hope. It's not always the case, but I'm hoping some clarity comes from all of this and justice is served to whoever and whenever it needs to be done. We'll get to our final break here in the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll come back, wrap it up. If you want to join us, you can give us a call. 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you here on ESPN 106.7. And Carter, you'll be sitting in on the drive all week, right? Dan's gone the rest of the week for Troy basketball, Troy women's basketball. So you will be pulling double duty this week. So we appreciate you doing that. It'll be Bill and Carter for the drive the rest of the week. I will be calling Lee Scott baseball. Baseball gets started up on Thursday against Chambers. They've already started, but our broadcasting starts on Thursday. So looking forward to getting out to John Mills Field and calling some Lee Scott baseball. New head coach Tim Hudson will, I'm sure, have that program ready to go and that team ready to play as they open up the season. So looking forward to that on the Lee Scott Sports Network over on AU100. Just to kind of wrap up, I know you're going to be sitting in here with Bill talking about this situation and some other stuff, and yes, we'll get into some other news tomorrow. But
I mean, this has dominated every headline.
Yeah,
I mean, it's there's nothing else that's happened in sports today that remotely like compares to what's going on in Tuscaloosa right now with Nate Oates, Brandon Miller, and the Darius Miles, that whole situation.
Yep, and that's why it has dominated our show as well. And if you missed any of it, go back and listen to the podcast. It's been a sad show. It really has been. It's one of those situations where you don't want to talk about it, but it needs to be talked about because of the severity of this, the significance of this, the impact that this has. And if you missed any of it, go back and catch up with the podcast, ESPNAU.com. Click on the podcast center. You'll find a commercial free right there, or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Tomorrow will be a busy show. We'll obviously preview Auburn basketball versus Ole Miss. We'll have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 join us. Trey Wallace will join us tomorrow as well. He wasn't able to join us today, but he will join us tomorrow, and I'm sure he has some thoughts on this situation as well. And who knows? I mean, we may get more information by tomorrow on this situation. I have no idea, and we're just going to have to play this by
ear. I would imagine we hear something in the next 24
hours. Well, especially
with
Alabama playing tomorrow.
They're going to play a basketball game, and I don't know. Something's going to have to happen there, at least, at a minimum, with this entire situation.
And we'll break it all down when we learn it. But at the end of the day, it's a sad situation, man. And there are some answers that need to be had. There are some questions that need to be answered. And there's some information that needs to come out and some decisions that need to be made, because this is only getting uglier by the minute, and justice needs to be served for Jamia Harris, a 23-year-old mother who was killed in Tuscaloosa. Something's got to be done, and somebody knows something, and we're going to find out what it is sooner or later. We'll find out. We're out of time here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Come back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.